Today we're starting a new sermon series. It's called The More of Less. I find that a lot of people I talk to have this general sense of discontentment. I feel like we're not really satisfied with something. Now, you can fill in your own blank. For some people, it's very obvious. For some people, it's a season. But something feels lacking. And so this series called The More of Less is designed to help us take a look at what contentment is, what it really is, not what the world says it is, and how to find it, and then how to keep it. So I want to start with a story today. It's a story that you're familiar with. The story begins like this. There were two people that God created named Adam and Eve. They lived in literally paradise. And when you hear the term Garden of Eden, don't you think paradise? It was beautiful. They had everything they needed. They walked in the presence of God. What more could you possibly need? Act 2, enter serpent. Serpent happens to point out this bright and shiny apple, and man, does it look good. It is so tempting. And so the apple turns into a temptation, the temptation turns into an act, and the act leads to the loss of paradise. And here's the irony. Those two people had everything they needed, but there was something else they wanted. Am I talking about Adam and Eve, or am I talking about us? See, I'll let you decide. Fast forward several generations, there have been all kinds of studies. I actually looked up studies as recently as 2024. We have never been, as Americans, more wealthy and less happy. This chart right here, if you look at the blue line at the bottom, that's an index of happiness. I don't know how they measure that, but there's an index of happiness. And if you're not on the scale, then I don't know how to help you, but I do know how to bring joy. So we'll talk about that later. So this index of happiness, you notice, is pretty flat lined right there. The green line is the average per capita income since, what does it start, 1974? I think I cut off the line to modern day. We have exponentially gotten richer, and we have stayed the same in happiness. Now, one of the other numbers that you can't see from back there, but it's that happiness index is on a scale of 1 to 10. And you'll notice it hasn't really moved, and it's like there might be a slight decline in it. But it's rated at 6.8% out of 10. Teachers or students, if you scored a 68% on a test, what grade would you get? Depending on the school, it's a D at best, or maybe an F. Folks, we're flunking happiness. We who have the greatest hope of all, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, are failing at happiness. Now, happiness and joy are different things. We can get into that some other time. But shouldn't we, of all people, be filled with joy? What's the problem here? Well, the problem is that apple. Or is it? No, the problem is Eve. Or is it? No, the problem is the serpent. Or is it? See, everything that I'm talking about is our ability to blame something else for our state of our heart. Because it's not about the apple, no matter how shiny it was. It's not about the serpent, no matter how smooth he was in his sales job. It's not about Eve, who took the bait. It's not about Adam, who also took the bait, by the way. It's about discontentment. You have to peel back the layers and see what is the real issue here. The real issue is discontentment. Because if when we're discontented, we open the window for things to enter in, and we stop thinking about what we need and start thinking about what we want. Those two aren't always the same. And when we open that window, there's a person, there's an enemy, there's an entity that wants to drag us away from that state of contentment. Because when we're not content, we are weak. Replay that in your head for just a second, because our culture tells us when you're content, you're strong. Or when you're discontented, you're going to go get things and make it work. We don't really associate contentment in modern society with strength. We think people who are contented lack ambition, or they're lazy, or they just don't have a go-getter attitude. We're going to work through this in the next 4 weeks. I'm not going to answer all your questions today. In fact, I'll probably never answer all your questions. But stick with us for the next 4 weeks as we journey through this idea of what contentment really is and how to avoid discontentment. So now that we've identified the root cause, we can actually treat the disease of discontentment and stop worrying about blaming everything else, that bright, shiny object, that smooth salesperson, that person who just took the bait. No, it's time to focus on us and just us. So, setting for today's sermon is John the Baptist. He is talking to people. He's getting great results. Is he Harvard educated? Is he well-dressed? Is he eloquent? No, but he's got the Spirit of God, and that's the most important thing. Is he content? He's content in his calling, but he's not content with the state of Israel. So he has some very direct words. If you want to read Luke chapter 3, that's John, but he's written about it in Luke as well. At John chapter 3, this is when he really gins up his ministry and he is calling everybody out because he sees that there's a big difference between what Israel was called to be and what Israel has become. So he's basically calling people out. I'm not going to read all of it, but this is his famous passage where he makes friends with the Pharisees by calling them brood of vipers. I wouldn't recommend that. He also talks about the voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. But this is an obscure passage. Bear with me as we read through it, because it's going to make sense here in a second. But what the question is of the day, I always ask you to ponder something. When is enough enough? If that doesn't describe contentment and discontentment, I don't know what does. But when is enough enough? Here are the words as I'm reading today as John is talking to people who are responding to his preaching and say, okay, what do we do? I'm in. I want to be different. How do I do that? This is what he says. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. These are the words of God for the people of God. And for these words, we are grateful. That's a pretty obscure passage. What's he going to do with that? I don't know. I really just picked it because there's this one word in there that makes all the difference. Be content. Be content. That solves it all. That chinks up that eliminates the chinks in the armor. That solidifies our defense and our ability to resist. I don't need that. So what do we do now? We have to deal with this because this idea of not falling into temptation gives us a certain strength. This ability to be content makes us strong. And if you don't believe me, if you read that word in Greek, archaeo, literally means in Greek, unfailing strength. How many people, when you examine your own willpower, can say, I have unfailing strength? I can't. I can't today, right? But if I am content, I have no chinks in my armor for the enemy attack. I'm solely focused on one thing and one thing alone, and that is Christ. And when that happens, I have his unfailing strength. That's the kind of contentment that we're talking about. It's the strength to resist, but it's also an undiluted strength. But think about this. If you're not content with where you are in life, I want a better job. I want a better title. I want more money. I want to live in a bigger house, whatever it is that you're discontented about. And by the way, social media is one of our best opportunities and worst enemies in this process. Because everybody, as you look at everybody's life, oh man, it's so wonderful. And you know, I was doing pretty good until I saw how my neighbor's doing, and now I'm not content anymore. And I've just opened myself to the enemy once again. But this undiluted strength means I don't have to chase all of that anymore. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. The only one I have to impress is Jesus. And he's already pretty impressed with me, so much so that he gave his life on a cross for me. That's what he thinks of you. And I don't know if that's ever sunk into you. If you're looking for a source of contentment, understand this. The Son of the living God gave his life for you. What else do you need? He will provide it all. So this undiluted strength then gives us opportunities. Now, if you don't believe me, I want to fill in some blanks. This is Bible quiz time. All right, so if this is familiar to you, anybody know what verse that is? Psalm 23. Yeah. So I'm throwing the low softballs first. It's going to get harder. All right, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right. If the Lord is my shepherd, if I am trusting him to guide me in everything that I do, I have no wants. I have needs, but that's what a shepherd does, provides for needs. Does a shepherd provide for wants? Not if it's detrimental to the sheep. Can you imagine a sheep out there walking through the pasture going, hey, shepherd, you know, I'm kind of tired of this grass. I would like, some special grass. Yeah, well, that special grass is going to make you fat. So no. I don't know what that conversation goes like. I'm making this up. But you get the idea, right? It's not about needs. It's about wants. So here's another one. It's going to get a little tougher now. This, anybody know where this comes from? Yeah. That's a tough one. Give us this day our daily. Not our lifetime supply. Not a guaranteed thing that I don't have to work for anymore. Just give me what I need today. That is contentment. So we get discontented when we don't have it all. When our plan for from here to we die and pass down our legacy is all planned out. And even then, we're not really content, are we? Things change. We change. Timelines change. You know what doesn't change? Discontentment. That's pretty constant. We even have a whole industry devoted to making you discontent. It's called advertising. They're really good at it because you got to have this thing to be content. That's what it'll tell you. Now, when we solve this issue, when we have the strength of contentment, we also gain something. There's two pillars to this in my mind. There's strength, but there's also freedom. See, when I don't have to worry about keeping up with the Joneses, I have some more resources available in time, in talent, and in treasure. I have some more headspace to think about other things than just me. I have the opportunity to pour some of that out into someone else. And this is even biblical. If you don't believe me, check out Galatians 5, 13 and 14. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Then doesn't that sound wonderful? See, that's what contentment allows. It allows some margin, some headspace, some heart space, some hand space. It allows us to have a feeling that I'm going to be okay, so I don't have to continually store everything up and keep it to myself. That's what allows us then to love neighbor as ourselves. The love that is action, that love that pours some time and talent and treasure into someone or something else. Now, here's an interesting question for you. Back to Psalm 23, my cup overflows. See, that's what we're talking about. When we have a sense of abundance, we have a sense of I have everything that I need and I can pour some of this out into someone else, then that freedom is what we use to serve one another. But here's the question of the day, and don't miss this. When you pour out of a cup of abundance, what end do you pour from? You pour from the top or the bottom? Now, you think I've lost my mind. I can see it on your faces. And you're not wrong. But on this one, I got a point to make. See, most of us think I will pour out of my cup which overflows when it's filled to the brim. And God has filled me so much that it begins to overflow. But here's the funny thing about that cup. As God begins to pour into that and we begin to feel like I've got everything we need, our cup changes. God's not changing the cup. We're changing the cup. Oh, that's not enough. I need a bigger cup. Oh, now I can't. I need more, God. I need more. No, a bigger cup. I need more, God. If you wait to pour out of the overflow of your cup from the top of your cup, you will never pour out your cup because it will never be enough. Isn't there a Broadway song? Never be enough, right? This is very popular in pop culture. We are discontent by nature. And if you wait to pour from the top, you will never overflow. Pour from the bottom. Take out the bottom of that cup. Let everything that God gives you go right through you. Right through you into other people. Because why? There's going to be more. That's called trust. We're also distrustful as a culture. That's a different day and a different sermon. But when we're content that God, our shepherd, and I will have no wants, I can open up the bottom of my cup and you will start overflowing immediately. That's how fast God works. He's even faster than Amazon, right? He delivers like that, right? And he'll give you what you need. He may not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. And if we will trust him and open the bottom of that cup, we will begin to pour into others. We will use the freedom that we have been given in contentment to serve one another in love. That's what Galatians is calling us to. I think it's a pretty good goal, if you ask me. Now, here's the thing. Contentment is not passive. I want to shatter that illusion, like, oh, he's content. That means he has no ambition. He's lazy. He just lays there and goes like, oh, whatever. No, that is not what we're called to. We're called to much, much more. I will argue there's a thing called holy discontentment, and that's when you see the one that's lost. I'm not content with that. That's different. I'm talking about our daily lives. Contentment is not passive. It's power. It's the courage to resist more and the freedom to pour it out for others. That kind of sums up everything we've said in the last 5 minutes. I didn't know y'all were going to be here, but the illustration that I'm using today is a place called Big Oak Ranch. You might recognize it, right? I want to tell you the story of Big Oak Ranch because it's a story of someone who had the opportunity to go get more, to enlarge the cup, but chose instead to shrink the cup so that the overflow would benefit others. There was a guy who played football for Alabama, John Croyle, in the 1970s. Played for the great Bear Bryant, right? He graduated Alabama as a defensive end. He was recruited by the NFL. He had the opportunity to sign for the NFL and make the big bucks and be famous. But at the same time, there was a call on John's heart. And that was for young boys who didn't have the best family situation. Christ was working on his heart, and he found himself at a crossroad. Do I sign with the NFL? Because, you know, I could have a platform, I could have lots of money, and I could help those boys from a distance. Or do I do this thing myself? Do I start this boys' ranch? In 1974, John made the decision that changed everything. He dropped the NFL. Never played. Could have. Never played. Started Big Oak Ranch. Now, he needed to buy some land, so he asked for, what kind of resources, what kind of money do I have? He came up short by tens of thousands of dollars. And one of his teammates from Alabama, who had recently signed with the New England Patriots, said, you know what? I'm going to give you my signing bonus to start this ranch, because I believe in you. That's abundance. That's contentment. See, now, if I'd have been that guy, like, yeah, a signing bonus, heck no, man, I'm buying a Corvette. I don't need that, but I want it. Or, I've got everything I need. I want to help these boys for generations, by the way. They recently celebrated their 50th anniversary in 2024, and they're still going strong. So the cool thing is, and maybe even cooler than John's story, is his son Brody also grew up playing football. Anybody remember Brody? Played for, nobody cares. All right. But here's the thing. Brody made a decision when he graduated college. He actually got drafted in 2006 as quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Anybody remember him now? Brody Croyle? No. Okay, you're not Kansas City Chiefs fan. I get that. Anyway, so he played in the NFL for 6 years. He was a quarterback. He was doing great. And in 2011, he went to his wife and he said, you know, something doesn't feel right. I'm kind of feeling a call to help out with Dad's ranch. Guess what? She said, I've been waiting 5 years for you to say that. She was on board. And so guess who's in charge of Big Oak Ranch now? Brody, the son. Now, here's the interesting thing. 5 years in the NFL, man, he could have kept going probably. I mean, he wasn't like the stars. He's not a Joe Montana, but he was a quarterback in the NFL. He walked away from that because he had everything he needed. He didn't need the accolades of man. He didn't need the fame of sports. He had a call on his life. And that call drove him to step out of that abundance into a whole different level of abundance. And to my knowledge, Brody is still there today. Is that right? Yeah. Brody is still there running it. It's expanding. It's gone to girls and boys. They've got a separate campus and all this stuff. And as I was researching this, because I knew it would be a great example, I ran across a news story. And in this news story, they were talking about all the things that were transpiring in this, and they had some random shots of the Big Oak Ranch. And I don't know if you know that Jeff and Christy Metter are at Big Oak Ranch as house parents. I didn't know you guys were going to be here today. And you know what's even more amazing? I didn't know they were going to be here today, and I took a screenshot of one of the news stories. Guess who's that? You see Jeff sitting right there, and Christy's head was blocked by your daughter. Is that your daughter? Yeah. But that's Jeff and Christy. That's the house that they live in with these boys and their own family, by the way. I see, is that Holden? I can't recognize his profile, but yeah. So how cool is this? How God thing is this that you happen to be here on the day that I chose this random illustration and I put your picture up there and you brought your mug right here? That's awesome. Only God can orchestrate that. That's amazing, right? But Jeff and I actually had a business together, and you know, we could have made it big. We were going to be famous, but he chose instead. I'm just kidding. He made the right choice, by the way. And so thank you for your service. Is one example where you have everything you need, maybe not everything you want, but you're doing the Lord's work, and we honor that commitment and dedication and contentment. So thank you for what you do. All right, so it's checkup time. I want you to know if you're discontented or contented. And there are signs that you can look for. Here's a list that you can run through. Do you have persistent restlessness? Do you have constant comparison? By the way, social media, like I said, really, really exacerbates that in the modern era. Do you have exhaustion and burnout? Do you have an opportunity or a proclivity to cut corners for more? Seems like I'm advertising a drug called discontentment, and these are the side effects, right? This is what you might experience. That's how you know when you're discontent. But if you are content, then you should experience gratitude, generosity. You should experience peace, relational joy. I would love to see a society filled with contentment and then revisit that happiness chart. I think the lines might be reversed. I don't know. Or maybe they'd at least be parallel. But we wouldn't be failing. I want to encourage you to actually take an active role in this contentment. And so, whoops, I got an extra slide in there. So here's some action steps that you can take this week. Number one, name your more. What is it that you're chasing right now? And once you've written that down, write it down, I want you to take that to God in prayer. Is that thing that you're chasing building God's kingdom or your kingdom? Because if it's just building your kingdom, guess what? You can let that go. You can experience a freedom saying, I don't have to chase that anymore. But if it's building God's kingdom, hang on to that. Go to the next step. Daily gratitude. Write down 3 blessings each night. Now, you may be thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm not a journaler. You could give me a million excuses. But when you stop and adopt a gratitude mindset, you realize how good our shepherd is, how much he's given us, and how much we have to be grateful for. Carry that through. That's going to be the fuel that leads you on to the next step and the overflow by serving. Which end of the cup are you going to pour out of? Give of your time, talent, and treasure. Because you've been given greatly. You've been given the good news. You've been given salvation. That's what people need. That's what he's asking us to share. At the beginning, I asked this question. When is enough enough? Where do I draw this line so that I can actually be content and not settle into discontentment? I don't normally answer my own questions, but today I made a special circumstance. You may not agree. And if you don't, I'd love to talk to you about it. But here's my answer. When is enough enough? When Jesus is your enough. Let's live into contentment. Let's give. Let's love. Let's serve. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for the gift of abundance, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to cast aside everything that is not of you. Help us to gain the strength of contentment, to recognize that all we need is you, Lord, as our shepherd. God, help us also to not be distracted. Help us to not go back to comparison and all the things that the voices of this world will tell us to do. But help us to settle in that contentment, but not to settle for not building your kingdom. God, help us to have a holy discontentment to make disciples, to not be satisfied with the sin in this world or our lives. Help us not be satisfied with the condition of the poor and the needy. Help us to not be satisfied until everyone hears your good news. God, in that we will find true contentment. We will find strength. We will find freedom. Because when the sun sets us free, we are free indeed. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.